Okay, we're finishing Pei Dalet Sivvav. There's still more to discuss. I want to move on. There are a couple of things I want to do prior to our learning of Zayin and Ches, which is sort of a new topic here. To sum up what we learned in two or three sentences, what we learned in the first six sifim is that Teiloim are only aser if they're either reichesh b'mayim, meaning they moved in water, they moved on the ground, not if they were originally created in bayris of water or in peiris, and that's halacha psuka, there's no dispute about that. And in Sifav, we learned to machlaikis if teiloim are created on a fruit on a tree, which is considered mechubel karka, which is aser, if they're in such a narrow place that they can never really wiggle around, the mechaber held that they're mutter as well because they're not reichesh, they don't move. Now all this will come up again as we talk about checking for the insects. I would like to learn the Ramah and Sivav without going into it at great depth, only because I don't want to skip it now, but there are a number of points which are going to come up later. So let's learn the Ramah. I'll try to make a point for future discussion, and then we'll go to Siv Zayin and Ches. The Ramah and Sivav said, Teiloim agedelim b'kameim upatriyos. What are those? So truffles and mushrooms. We make a shahakal on them because they're not considered to be rabi meyara. They don't get their main nutrition from the ground. So here, before we look at what it says, are bugs, if you have bugs in mushrooms, I'm not talking about if you have to check mushrooms. Let's say there are worms in mushrooms. Are they aser or not? Well, we said, if there's a worm in a fruit that's, when it's connected to the ground, it's aser. If the worm is created when it's disconnected from the ground, then it's mutter. So someone might argue that worms and mushrooms are mutter. So the Ramah says, nothing doing. He says, "Lo yamrina de lechashivi mechob lekarka." We don't say that they're not considered mechob lekarka. I haven't worked on them by pri adama since you don't have by pri adama. So therefore, they are still aser because they are connected to the ground. Now, what is clear is if they wouldn't be mechob lekarka when they grow, it seems to be pretty clear that the heter would apply. So we're going to return to this because it's a very important discussion. L'chayre here, we could have a gigantic heter. And that is, if you grow fruits or vegetables, more importantly, things like broccoli or lettuce or cabbage, in either hydroponically or in flower pots that are not connected to the ground, even if they are insects, it would seem that it should be mutter. That's what would seem to come out from this. In other words, we're saying here, well, mushrooms, if they're not connected to the ground, if they're not considered connected to the ground, the bugs will be mutter. The Ramah says, no. Still, they're aser because they're not considered disconnected because they are lamaisa physically connected to the ground. It would seem to be that the underlying idea would still hold true for things grown in an otzitz, that even if there are worms there, that l'chayre they should be mutter. Now we're going to come back to this because it's very negay, especially in Shemitah, where a lot of the Eretz Yisraelitic produce is grown in what's halachically a flower pot. So we're going to come back to discussing this. I wanted to make the point because I don't want to pass this Ramah without pointing out this tumble over mushrooms, that he's machmir, but by implication, other cases will be mutter. Number two.
Nowadays,
all the lettuce we buy is cleaned from worms. Bodek has a very good cleaning method, and that's why their lettuce tends to be a little less crisp because it goes through a complicated washing process.
It's grown in the ground.
It's grown in the ground, and the positive and all their other brands that are related to positive, golden something or other, they are grown in greenhouses in Mexico.
In
greenhouses in the ground. And they're washed in a place in Philadelphia. So it's not as thorough a washing process as Baudet, but it grows in greenhouses, which means they have less bugs in the first place. Okay. Now, let's return to the Ramah. The second important point of the Ramah, Upama Ninsa Bapri Kamin Nikuda Shchaira. Sometimes you'll find in the fruit a black dot. Now remember, the Ramah talks in terms of spontaneous generation. He's saying, now we would say that there's an egg there that's starting to form. He's saying sometimes you have black dots in the fruit, and that places shemaschil hatelas lehisrakeim, where the telas, the worm, begins. How would you translate this? Rakeim
to form,
begins to form. V'sarach l'tlay mishan ba'aymik. The aser kabaya telas atzvay, and it has to be dug. You have to dig it out because it's also just like the worm itself. What? He's not referring necessarily to mushrooms. He's referring to those peris where this is physically true. Now, obviously, it may be true in some and not in the others. But if it's true that it's maskilis rakem, that that's where it's starting to form, the Ramah says that that's us. And there are two important points.
So this is after it was before it was picked?
This is that it was on the ground before it was picked. It was on the ground. Now, there are two points. One made by the Shach. And that is, hold on a second, it never crawled. This thing never crawled. It never was alive enough to be moving. And the Mechaber said that even if it grew on the ground, if it was never reichesh, that it's mutter. So the Shach asked his kashi, his matmiya, in Shach of Tzarechin. Ma'ishtam v'had the kasam Mechaber b'teloam nitzav v'pulim v'afunim. Tachas haklipa, things you find under the shell, haklipa mishachers aleihem, mibechutz, and the klipa sort of traps it. The mutarim kibshum dachem b'makim tzar, since they're in a narrow place, v'lei michashu. V'sosam arav kavos seder, Rabbah didn't argue. Chem yishum sarash b'mashu lehedya, the kosin din zelis for asai, the loy b'ina richush. The oisrim only aser, if you hold it, doesn't have to move. That the Ramah means to be machmir on that topic and to take it out, as long as it was not cooked, meaning that it's still there. It's a minadin. If it didn't crawl, it's mutter. But yesh lahachmir nafkamina sheni aser atavshel, etc. So this shach is learning that the Ramah, at least the chatchila, is being machmir on the mechaber's kula, mechaber a kula. I mentioned this to you in regard to the worm in the nut, where the worm is trapped; it can't move. And even if it grew on the ground, when it was connected to the ground, according to the Mechaber, the worm in the cashew nut is mutter anyway, because it's never reichesh, it's trapped in, it can never move. So the Ramah says, the way to Shach understands this Ramah, he's machmir lechatchila, that yesh lahachem lidlei misham calls a match on this bashel, that a person, as long as it's possible, should remove it from there. That's what. Yeah.
What's the black thing?
Which black thing? The Ramah is describing? Yes. It's a black dot, which if you let it stay for a little while, it'll turn into a worm. Okay, we would say it's the egg that's hatching and coming to form. If you believe in spontaneous generation, so it's the middle of the generating a live creature. Now, this brings sort of to a conclusion the first part of Siman Pei Daled. We're going to deal with the issue of Bedika for today, the next 45 minutes. We're going to deal with the issue of the obligation to check insects, which is a a separate issue. Now, until now, the issue is which insects are mutter and which are aser. The issue that we're going to deal with in Sif Zayin and primarily in Sif Ches is the issue of what the requirement is to check for bugs in the first place. We're going to come back to this because when the issue of how visible does a bug have to be aser, when that issue will come up, you can't write the Shulchan Aruch. How are you going to write how visible it has to be? It's very hard to put it into words, the visibility size. This Ramah is going to come up. The Ramah here is talking about black dots, shehischa lehisrak came, that began to form. It sounds like, if you know it's a bug, even though it's not a fully formed bug, it sounds like this Ramah is being machmir. This Ramah would seem to be an extraordinary chumrah. And we put it in our back pocket, and we move on now to Sifches, Zayin Ches, and we'll come back, we'll pull it out of our pocket when we get back to that discussion. What? Oh yeah, I'm sure there are other black dots. Everything can have a black dot that's dirt, right?
So,
or if you know that this is the type of thing that a black dot that's not a bug is mutter. Yeah.
Imagine the black dot that is like the egg, which would be mutter.
Yeah. It depends what his cholesterol means. It sounds like the egg itself would be mutter. Now, one more point. Last week, I mentioned to you the issue of the scales on the orange peels. Okay, just to review, oranges do have on the outside of the orange. There are small creatures that are actually created with wings and legs for a few hours. They fly onto a citrus fruit and attach themselves to the fruit. It's from the Meirai Sabayre. These creatures land on the fruit, drop what they call a rostrum or a straw, which is part of their body, through the
rind.
Through the rind into the juice, and they live off orange juice. That's the whole diet, the whole life, Nebuch. And they live off the orange juice, and they shed their legs, they lose their legs, they excrete a waxy substance and actually roll in it so that they become surrounded with it. And that waxy substance attaches itself to the orange. Sometimes you could see that it eventually turns black because of the dirt around it. Sometimes you could see on the outside of an orange a small scale. It looks like a piece of wax that stuck to the fruit. And it has this creature inside. Now the science of it is that the female creatures remain that way forever. They shed their legs. If you saw it, you would have to know that it's a bug. It doesn't have identifiable body parts. The male lives that way for a short period of time and then grows legs and wings back, flies off and mates with the scales on the other oranges, and those give off their eggs, and the whole cycle repeats itself. This is what's happening in the microscopic world, God's world. This is what takes place. What's the Galadina is not negaya to eating oranges. Nobody eats orange peels. You take off the orange peel, you throw it away. Not negaya. Also, what? Chocolate covered orange. People actually eat that? Yeah. All right. Anyway, also, there was, the what? What's that?
Mini oranges.
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I will say the ones that are sold as eating oranges are heavily sprayed and don't have very much of this. The ones that are grown for juicing are the ones that are more problematic. When they grow oranges for juicing, they don't care what it looks like. And when they juice the orange, they juice it together with the rind. They throw the whole the whole orange into a machine and get juice that comes out.
So you have the bump inside of it.
Now you have scales in the oranges. Now I mentioned this last week because the tzad heter of these bugs is the mechaber. The mechaber said that insects which are never reichish, which are trapped, never crawl, are mutter. If in fact the bugs are not considered visible when they're tiny and when they land, and as they grow they become visible, this would be the mechaber's heter of something that's not reichish, and it would be mutter. It appears to be accepted that in the flying stage, they call it the crawling stage, that these creatures are now visible, and they become visible as they grow. And according to the Mechaber, you have a heter. I just read you the Shach. The Shach says that we're machmir lechatchila.
Is pineapple the same thing? I'm
not aware that there's an issue of pineapples. Pineapples are a totally different issue. You mean the tumul over the pineapples?
No, some people say
they're the same. Okay, no, I don't think it's the same thing, okay. But let's talk about this. Now, what happened is a number of years ago, some people were looking for these scales to see how prevalent they are in juice. The statistics have been published, interestingly enough, is that in Tropicana orange juice, there are roughly 10 such insects per 64-ounce container, or about 1 per 6 ounces, which means the average serving is going to have at least one of these scales in it. When I say scales, there are two parts. There's the insect and the scale, the waxy substance around it. The waxy substance, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about the shellac of creatures, if it's usur or not, and it likely, based on the Igros Moshe, that the scales themselves are mutter. We're not talking about the scale. The scale is the waxy surface. We're talking about the bug inside. Roughly 6 per container. The house brands, the Hamish or store brands, only have about 2 per container, 2, 3, 4 per container, which is less than 1 per serving, which makes it better. The reason for this is not so clear. It could be Tropicana is thicker, and it's just not filtered as much because the juice itself is very hard to filter. But for that reason, many of us were machmir not to use since it started, I don't drink orange juice because it's not worth it for me to. Why should I drink orange juice if I could drink Coke? But not worth it. Why get into a shiloh with? But at least people should try to avoid Tropicana. When it started, I tried here that. Tell people not to have Tropicana, but people in their brains are not geyrus, it's so complicated. No Tropicana, and yes, other things, why, where, what, where. So people don't retain such a complicated piece of information. What? So we can talk about that, but the point is this. Let me just finish. I'm going to, first of all, the tzad heter shabai, it sounds like a good heter, is that the question is it called visible? And that's what we're going to discuss at length. We're going to talk about Sifches. And I don't want to get too sidetracked. I'm going to prepare for Sifches the whole morning and not get to Sifches. So I want to get to it. But the tzad heter, the bottom line tzad heter, is that roi, you can see black dots in the orange juice. Roi of the black dots you'll see are not insects. Because there are other black dots in it. There are many reasons there would be dots in the juice. And that's really the tzad heter that is supposed to arrive within the black dots. What they get to me for our discussion today is the status of insects such as these. These insects, are they considered identifiable insects? So I'd like to read to you from the Shir Shabbos Kol Chasa. Shir Shabbos Kol Chasa was published many decades ago. It has nothing to do with the current tumult. I want to make the point that there's not something that a few yeshiva guys discovered 10 years ago. This is something that has been discussed in the past. I'm reading to you. So that's the issue. The issue, again, is it reichesh? According to the Mechaber, it was never reichesh. The Ramah, which Shach Chav, seems to be machmir, at least the Chatchil. So I'm going to read to you. Obviously, this Rishav's Kol Chasa is Hilchos Shabbos. And he's talking about whether you're allowed to filter out the scales on these bugs on Shabbos. So we're not going to talk about Hilchos Shabbos at some future day. Yeah, the problem is not the scales, it's the insect under the scales.
Yeah, the
scales are filtered out more often than the insects themselves.
Under the scale.
The scale traps an insect under it, and the issue is not so much the scale, as I told you, Ramesh's Truva, when an insect excretes something, under certain conditions called Pirsha Ba'alma, and it's mutter. And Ramesh al Shalak, in his case, is Pirsha Ba'alma, the wax is not Isser. However, what's the status of the bugs? I would like to read to you the language, and we're going to come back to it yet later today. Le'inyan Issa Teilaim. Oh, on top he's talking about whether you're allowed to filter it out. Underneath it, so Kufay says, what about Issa Teilaim? What about, is it Osir out a living creature? L'chari Yeshlaimah. Shim Iyav Shashiyagiyu L'matzav Kazeh. If it's not possible that these creatures will come to a point that you're never going to really identify it as something alive or roichesh or crawling, it can be called a crawling insect. By their nature, these insects are never show any type of movement, and therefore it's muta shemati misham zamen arbach. That's what he says, and then he says, Rakal achazaman, chozava omer, Gurmisham Zaman Arbach, Shanoidaloi mi boy base shalachazainish, shachoshish bezeli isatelim. So he says, Rosham Zaman is mitzade to be makel, because it's not something that would ever come to be reichesh. And then he writes that afterwards he found out that the chazainish was machmir, vigam noidaloi, and he also found out a second point. Before these creatures are covered by their scales, gam be'ayin regila yichaylim lahargish ktsas berichi shasan. I want to explain these words, and these are very important words. He says, gam be'ayin regila, with average eyesight, yichaylim lahargish ktsas berichi shasan. It's possible to notice ktsas, their movement. Now, one of the big topics here is whether insects that are visible when they're alive and crawling but come to you when they're dead and not visible to the average eyesight, whether this is awesome. What Shlomo Zalman here is saying is that here the Chazanish is Mahmir. He's not saying why. Then he says, Gamnoi Daloi, which could be the reason the Chazanish is Mahmir, is that before it forms its scale, they're visible when they move. Which, presumably, it would be the reason the Chazanish was Machmir. That the Isser is because beforehand, which means that the underlying heter that Rosh Hashanah Zaman held, that it should be mutter as a scale insect because it's never noticeable as a living creature, that's true. Just here, there's a prior reason to Aser, because previously it was a Chayim Lahagish Ktsas B'Rikhi Shasa. That's the biur of what it says. The takeaway from this is that if it's visible when it moves, even if it dies later, it's Aser. On the other hand, if it was not visible when it was alive, but when it was in the moving state, and later, then that's something that can ever come to movement, that's a davar hamutter. That's what comes out from what it says here. So again, I would like to come back to it, but there are two points I want to make. That the issue of these bugs is not, a newfangled thing. It's at least 50 years old. The Chazanish is more than 50 years ago. And there are certain rules that we can try to take away from what it says here. This is in Shmuel Shabbos Lechasa, Perek Gimel, in footnote Kufhei. Now, I'm going to put it aside. Let's try to go to the Mechaber, Susainis of Ches, and try to see what the takeaway is as far as rules for checking. Now, don't, as you read the Mechaba, talk about checking broccoli and checking lettuce and checking cabbage. Just learn what it says, and then we'll try to see how it applies. Okay, let's learn exactly what it says in Siv Zayin and Siv Ches. Siv Zayin, Peri Shehet Liyah, a produce that has worms, Ve'en Yadua in B'mechubur in B'talush, and it's not known if the worms came when it was mechubur l'karka, which is aser, or b'talush, which is mutter, aser, Me'safek, you have to be machmir, shachof aleph, afilu lo yadinan, even if you don't know, shadarka ilisliya b'mechubur. Even if it's, let's say, you get a fruit that's not darka ilisliya b'mechubur, you get an apple, apples don't have telon, and you find a worm in the apple, kivin shehu mutla lefadeinu, since in front of us we see worms, ikal svuke, and you don't know, the b'mechubur isliya, maybe b'mechubur, aser, if it's a suffix, it's aser, and that's what he says.
Why isn't it suspected? You don't have a
Rosh either. You don't know if it's from
Bechober. You don't know if it's Bechober. You don't know if it's
Rosh. You don't know if it's Rosh. It's probably Kulachad the Sveika. If it's a worm that's Sheretz or Sheretz al Oretz, there could be two reasons it wasn't Sheretz al Oretz. Either because it came later or because it was Bishas Maisa, it was sort of trapped. That could be the reason. And if you want, I'll show you some contemporary Rabbanim who have your mamish on what you asked and what I answered you. But okay, all right. So this is the so sveikis you have to be machmir sivches. Kol minei peiros shedarkon lehasliak shemuchubarim fruits shedarkon lehasliak. We're gonna have to define how often is it called derech, but if it's usual for it to get worms kshemuchubarim lo yoichol achiv de kapri. Mitaychan shema yesh baitelas. So the Mechaba says clearly there's a chiyah bedika. As long as it's darkai, quote unquote darkai, we have to define derech. But as long as it's usual for it to get worms, so b'mechuber, so then you have to test it. V'insha'a priyachas hanekar yud beis chaydish. Listen to this: if you have a fruit after it was disconnected from the ground, and you put it somewhere for 12 months, Eichel b'loi b'dika, shekol beria she'ein ba'etzem ein miskayim yud beis chaydish. A beria that doesn't have a bone, like a worm or a bug, it'll disintegrate within 12 months. If it's still there, then obviously it came betolish. So if you have, cashews, and they're stored for 12 months, and then you open a cashew and find a worm. So obviously that worm came betolush, because had it come b'mechubur, with mekubal, that it would not still exist 12 months later. U'mekomakai. Now, it's important to realize, the next words are going on after 12 months. U'mekomakai. Tzarech lebaitkan, even after 12 months, you have to check them as follows. L'hash l'chatelam in nimse b'neyem b'chutz. First, to clean the ones that are externally on the fruit, because we know if it's reichish externally, even if it came later, it's aser. Even after you clean the outside, yesh lachush shema kishiyidnei b'mayim b'tech kederi yetz luchus v'yirchishu. When you're going to cook now. You already know the worms inside were not b'mechubur, because they would have disintegrated. So now you're concerned, maybe these worms came around betolush, which are mutter. But if they're going to crawl outside, they're going to become aser. Because even worms betolush, once they start crawling, they're aser. Maybe they're b'yirchishu b'mayim, then maybe they'll go for a swim. B'dayf ne'a kadeira, gabi apri, and they'll be aser. Hilka, chabala v'ashel, achiyud beis chaydish, perish esliyu. This is what you have to do. Yidnum l'seich mayim tzaininim. Put them into a pail of cold water. Hamutulon v'amenu kavim yalu l'mayla. And the ones that are not solid, the ones that are eaten up inside, they're going to float to the top. And you skim those and you throw them out. V'achakach yidnim b'kaderes mayim reischin. Now maybe there are still living creatures inside. So then you put it into boiling water. Shemnisha by Talas Yomus Miyad. So you're going to kill the bugs. Once you kill them, they're mutter inside the fruit. Just you're worried they're going to crawl out. Once you kill them, they're not going to crawl out anymore, and therefore it's mutter. So one more time. If you have beans that you're afraid had worms, if they're 12 months old, we're not worried about worms that were there, but mechuber, they would be disintegrated. If there are worms, then there they came betolush. Now, really, you could put it in your mouth and eat it. If there's a worm inside, it was betolush, it's good, but you want to cook it. We're afraid the worms are going to crawl out. So besides washing whatever's outside, you're afraid it'll come out, you have to do two things. First, throw it into cold water. And the ones that float to the top, skim and throw out, because those are very wormy. They became a little rotten from it. And then, whatever remained, put it in hot water, and you'll be able to kill whatever worms there are, and then it's mutter. This is the process. Many homes, many people, my wife included, before we used cholent beans, we put the cholent beans in a pot of cold water and let it stand for a little while. And the few that float to the top, we throw out because of this chashash. It seems from here that the ones that are more rotten float to the top, and not many. Usually it's one or two, and in a lot of beans. And I really should do is take them and then cut them open and see what's going on inside. But those are usually the ones that are not solid bean. They're more fafoiled. They're more rotten on the inside.
Isn't it
hard
to say bracha before you
eat? I want to not to digress. Like I said, I want a mechaber Ramah. Ramah here is very important. So we had a long mechaber, mostly what to do with things after 12 months, which doesn't come up that much. Ramah. V'loy mahani bohem im bodak haroiv eletzarech livdai kulam. Very important, Ramah. You can't say, I checked most of them, and most of them are good, so probably the rest will be good. No. If you have a min perish, a dark laslia, you have to check every single one. Dahava miyot deshchiach. Now, it's a very important phrase. Dahava miyot deshchiach, and shachov ches. V'chol shematzui ein semchra abadikas arayv. Any miyot hamatzui, we'll define that. We don't rely on checking grayv. V'dayim labdikas areya. It's like checking the lung of an animal. Most animals are kosher. But we check very similar miteshu, miyot hamatzui. V'yitzem chen ha-miktzas al-bedikas ha-raiv. We don't rely on the miktzas for the bedika of the raiv. Now this Ramah, this one-line Ramah, has a lot more in our halacha l'maisa than the long machaber about beings that are 12 months old. And the reason is this. There are two, as you know, In the kashrus world, generally, in most areas of kashrus, there tends to be a consensus of an approach to most kashrus shaylos. Sometimes there are two levels, the mahadrin and less mahadrin, but generally there's consensus. When it comes to bugs and the chashash of teloyim, there is a great divide among hasherim, and it's not anything political. It's totally in chalukei dayos. Let me tell you, not my opinion, just what the arguments are about. There are two discussions that are nogeya. One is how prevalent do bugs have to be in order to be mechayev bedika, and two, what's called visible. Now let's put aside the what's called visible discussion and start with the first discussion. When are bugs considered to be infested? The Shulchan Aruch began, Kol mine perish shadarka nahaslia. What does derech mean? Well, we know it doesn't mean raiv, because the Ramah said, miyut hamotzi, miyut tushchiach. What is called a miyut hamotzi? So it seems to be a very vague expression. Mina tayri yagobas raiv. If raiv is, if something is good, we go basarayv. If we don't know, we're not telling you enough to check the lungs of an animal. Raiv animals, their lungs are kosher. Now, midrabanan, you have to check a miyot hamotzi. How much is a miyot hamotzi? So there's a tshuva from Mishkanes Yaakov, quoted by virtually all the later paiskim, The Mishkan HaSiakim says 10%. How did he get to 10%? So it's part of the genius of Talmidei Chachamim. Beferish, two Gemaras. Beferish, the two Gemaras. One is a Gemara in Gittin Lamed Gimel. I think it's Lamed Gimel. It says, it's talking there about separating Trumas. A person has a barrel of wine, and every time he has other wine is Tevel. And it's a convenience. Every time he has wine, he has the mafresh truma. He's mafresh from that barrel onto the tevel. That way he doesn't have to pachka every time. So he has a barrel. He knows it's got 10 gallons. And he has a paper on the side. And he says, he's mafresh. I'm mafresh. Right now I have to take 1 gallon of wine for truma. I say the lower, the a gallon of not yet separated truma from the barrel should be truma on this. So that's the way it works. The Gemara says, "Bikimul prakim, baikin asayayin shamehichmitz." It says occasionally you have to check if that barrel of wine turned vinegar. It doesn't work. It's a sealed barrel. You don't want to open the barrel because you want to keep it good. So it says certain times of the year you have to check shamehichmitz. That means we have to be chayish shamehichmitz. What's the likelihood shamehichmitz? So the Mishkan Siaka says the Gemara above Basra. In Bava Basra, in Hamaiches HaPeiris, it talks about when you sell containers of food, how much you have to deduct for spoilage. Like it says, you know, when you sell wheat, there's some rocks mixed in. How much you have to deduct? So this is it. It says when you sell wine, Minakaloi Echad Me'eser, you deduct 10% for the wine in the barrels that turned into vinegar. I don't say it's that way in the 21st century, but in time of the Gemara, one out of 10 barrels would have turned into vinegar while it was sealed. So, Zakti Mishkan Esayakiv, you see, 1 in 10, begin with Prakim Baikin Esayayin, Shema Hechmitz. It's only a 10% chance, and you have to check. So, the Mishkan Esayakiv says 10% is Miyur Hamatzi. That's that. Now, you can say maybe 9% is also Miyur Hamatzi. It's not a raya, less is not. But it's a raya that 10% is Miyur Hamatzi. And that's the Pesach of the Mishkan HaSiakiv, which generally Hechsherim go with. In 2009-2010, they found in chickens had a high incidence of ripped Tzumas Hagidin. The Tzumas Hagidin in the polka was ripped. It was more than 10%. All the Hechsherim started doing Bedika on the Tzumas Hagidin. Because it's a treifus that suddenly became prevalent. I'm aware exactly why it's happening, and hopefully correcting it.
They said this is by yayin. Why other things also the same thing, 10%?
The rule of Mi'ir HaMotzi should be the same. Right. You have to check for Mi'ir HaMotzi. Now, by wine, you have to check.
Yeah, because other things would be less, but more.
But why, the chshay, if you go bas arayv, it's for everything. If you chayshish should be Mi'ir HaMotzi, the same percentage should be for everything. The logic of the rule should apply to everything. And therefore, it should be 10%. Now, here is the million-dollar question. 10% of what? 10% of the leaves of lettuce? 10% of the heads of lettuce? 10% of the big boxes of lettuce? 10% of what? What are we talking about?
Every box would take 10%.
Okay. Anybody vote differently? 10% means 10% of the leaves have to have? 10% of the boxes? Each head, you go by head? By head of lettuce.
Yeah.
So if you're farming small heads, then you go also by the head? So Rav Schwab was not as sure as you. Rav Schwab wrote letters to all the Gedalei Yisrael about this in probably 1980 or so. He wrote, how do I know he wrote letters? They are tshuvas to him from a number of Gedalim. And he asked them, he said, the KHA gives a hechsher at a nursing home, and they cook cabbage. So they want to know when you have to check cabbage for bugs. Do you go by 10% of servings? It's mustaver. Do you go 10%, let's say they're cooking stuffed cabbage, by each piece of stuffed cabbage, it has whatever, 8 leaves around it, so every 8 leaves you check 10%. Or do you go by the pot? It's a gigantic pot. They're cooking for everybody. Well, what do you do?
Well, by the wine, isn't it 10% of the volume?
10%. See, 10% by wine is easy because you go by, if a barrel turns vinegar, the whole barrel turns vinegar, right? So 10% of the barrels turn vinegar. But the question here is how many of the, how much of the cabbage do you go by?
10% has the problem, you have to check everything.
Yeah, but what's 10%? Let's say a container of orange juice has, let's say every container of orange juice has some bugs in it. You say, so it's awesome. What do you say? No, most people take a cup of orange juice. A normal cup, you take a 7-ounce cup, you don't fill it to the edge, so it's 6 ounces. So maybe you go by, do 10% of 6-ounce servings have bugs? You follow?
Yeah.
That's the question. So this is what he is. So we have Rav Shlomo Zalman's response to him.
Well, I'm not sure what the question is.
The question is, how do you...
If 10% of the heads are infected, you have to check all the heads.
Okay, so I'm asking you a question. Let's say 1 out of every 10 heads is infested, but not every leaf has it. It's not infested like vinegar, that whole thing has vinegar. I'm preparing stuffed cabbage. Each piece of stuffed cabbage has whatever, 8 leaves. A head of lettuce has 25 leaves. So my question is, if I'm preparing stuffed cabbage, and the statistics come out that only 1 in 20 is going to have bugs of the servings, I'd say it's 1 in 20, I don't have to check. Or do I say, no, but more than 1 in 10 heads of lead of cabbage have it? In other words, if I look at heads of cabbage, so 1 in 10. But why should I go by heads of cabbage? It's just cabbage happens to grow a lot in a head. The celery grows a small amount. Just if the mazel of cabbage grows this way, it should be more awesome than celery, which grows differently.
Every head, but superficially. You don't have to check every leaf in every head.
Why do I have to check if in my servings less than 1 in 10 is going to be is infested? That's not called... That's not called Mi'ed Amatzi. But why do I have to check if it's less than a Mi'ed Amatzi? Why do I do it with blueberries? Why do blueberries? Blueberries, even if they have, it's not 1 in every 10 blueberries, but it might be 1 in every 10 servings, or 1 in every, they sell them in pints. How do you measure? This is the issue. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in his tshuva that it doesn't make sense it should go by the individual serving. That if you're snacking on it, eating a few pieces, it's mutter. And if you're making a big salad, chicken salad for dinner, it should be awesome. So it just doesn't make sense to him that it should be mutter or awesome based on how you're eating it. And that's what he writes in the tshuva. I don't see, if you look at it, it's a little frustrating because there's no clarity as to what his final psak is. I forgot, I didn't write down the Baruch Mokim. But I think it's the first volume of Micha Shloimei. It sounds like, from what he's saying, is that you should go by each head, rather than by each serving. He says servings are, they're subjective. They depend on the person, and on the place, and on the time. He seems to go by each head. Rabbi Yashiv, though, says you go by each pot of food. He says, if you're cooking a pot of food of cabbage for a nursing home, and you have 100, If there's a 10% chance in that pot there's a bug, then you have to check. So B'Yashim seems to say it is subjective. If you're cooking at home just for yourself, make a salad for yourself, if it's 1 in 10 in your salad, or 1 in 10 or whatever it is that you're making.
But heads are not equal.
Pots are equal, I don't know. At any rate, this leads to confusion. The Shita, despite that Rabbi Yashiv doesn't seem to agree with it, and Shlomo Zalman is very unclear, the Shita of many of the Hechsher organizations is that it should go by 10% of servings. Hey, you know, this is controversial. They go by like the maximum normal, what we call normal serving. The maximum normal serving is the way you go. And that's the way it works. That's the shita, I think, of most of the Hefsher organizations. You know, okay, Jacob is more machmer, but this is their mahaloch. So you go by serving, but with machmer, the largest serving that people would normally eat, and 10% of that has bugs, you have to check. Now, obviously, this is all confusing, and it is confusing. And it became, to a certain degree, the subject of disagreement. Rebelsky had very strong feelings about this. He had very strong feelings about a lot of things. Rav Ozner and the Tshuva and Chelek Dalet says the same as Rav Elsti. He says, why are you putting statistics? There's a reason Chazal didn't, when he talked about Mir HaMotzi, he didn't put statistics. He says, Mir HaMotzi means that if someone would be eating and he'd come upon a worm, he wouldn't be surprised. That's what he says. So now some people are not aware there are worms anywhere. But he says, if someone would be eating, come upon a worm, oh, you know, these things have worms. If someone's eating a carrot and he came upon a worm, you say, what's a worm doing in a carrot? Someone's eating lettuce and he found a worm, and you say, oh, these are lettuce worms. So this is Rebelsky's feeling. Now, Rebelsky did say, so water, someone would see a worm in water, you know, that he said that's a miyachet amatsi, the worms in the water, because somebody drinking water, they find a bug in the water, they'll be very surprised. It's not matsui. When Chazal was chayshish for matsui, matsui means it's common. It's common to people.
So why the kapapad?
So Rebelsky held there's no problem with the kolpapads. I spoke to you last time about the heter that's bayrais and not yamin v'naharis. There's a second reason to be made. There are three reasons to be made on bugs in the water. Either Rebelsky's heter that's bayrais, and the bugs are not aser, or because it's not a mir amotzi, or because it's not called visible, which is the third and most likely heter of all of them, the way it seems to me. But this is Rebelsky Shita. So what comes out is that it's a terribly confusing guideline, Mir HaMotzi. Now, I have to tell you, some items are Mugzik B'Teloim. Things like broccoli and cauliflower are Mugzik B'Teloim. It's a certain that you're going to find Teloim in them. There's no question that there's a problem with them. We're talking about the things that are on this level where you're going to hear some Hashem like this, some Hashem like that. This is where the issue comes up.
Rabbi, now, if you cook cabbage like 1,000 in a pot, or whatever they call the cultures in a pot, no one's going to find the bug, or maybe one person. Not everyone.
I don't mean everyone. I mean somebody who knows how to check is going to check.
But after it's cooked?
No, you have to check before it's cooked. You can't check after. Oh. If it's cooked, you can't check for it. So this is the question of what constitutes miyot hamotzui and what doesn't. Now, I want to talk for a minute about raspberries or blackberries, and I'm using it as a dugma for what I for a point that the way I understand it. The hechsherim don't allow fresh raspberries or blackberries because they have a certain amount of infestation, and it's impossible to physically check them and to catch them, and therefore they generally don't allow it. They allow pureed strawberries, raspberries, all these things. Once they're pureed, they're permitted. In yogurt, you have strawberry, whatever is yogurt, it's actually, at least the Chalav Yisrael brands, are made with jam. Sometimes when you eat it, you'll feel like a piece of it. It's just the science of it is that jam and milk gel together. As long as it feels like you have pieces of whole fruit, but they're really jam, and jam we'll talk about in Siftes. The mitzias of a blackberry, interestingly enough, the way they check for blackberries, they have what they call the drop method. Now, it'll be interesting to try it. What you have to do, you can't check a blackberry. You put a white sheet or a white piece of paper, and you drop the blackberry onto the paper from a foot and a half or higher. For reasons that are not clear, the metzius is when you drop them, they run out of the blackberry. That's the metzius. I guess they're afraid that someone's in the middle of chewing the other end of it. So I know bugs are blueberries. You drop it, it runs out. So what they say is you drop it, it runs out. Take another paper, drop it again. Eventually, nothing's going to run out, and then it's kosher. Now, they don't allow, no Hechsher allows kitchens to use this method because it's just not practical. And therefore, they generally don't use blackberries and blueberries. Now, the point I want to make is not that. We don't use, I'm not talking about blueberries. Blueberries is a separate discussion. Don't blackberries and raspberries. Okay. Now, here's the point, a very interesting thing. There are certain items that they're matir frozen and not fresh. Now, what's the logic to it? So I want to tell you something else. I wondered why certain things are cheaper frozen than fresh. If you want to buy fresh string beans, or you buy frozen string beans, the frozen is cheaper than fresh. Doesn't make any sense. The frozen, they have to pay to freeze it, they have to ship it in frozen trucks, they have to store it frozen. And fresh, you throw it into a bag. Why? So the reason is the following. When they pick produce, they don't pick them fully ripe. If they pick it fully ripe, by the time it gets to you, it's going to be mushy. It's not going to be good. Produce is picked before it's fully ripe. It's firm. Doesn't get mushy. And by the time it gets to you and you put it out, you know, so they'll pick the bananas when they're still green. By the time it gets to you, hopefully it'll be yellow. And if it's not yellow, you'll put it out a little bit and you'll wait till it turns yellow. But that's the fact of the way produce is picked. The exception is frozen produce. Frozen produce is picked fully ripe because they freeze it immediately. It's picked fully ripe. My nafkamina. When they pick raspberries for fresh sale, they have people physically picking off each berry and putting it in a container, picking it in, and that's the way they do it. When they do it for freezing, they have machines. What the machines do is they shake the bush. Things that are fully ripe fall off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a metzius in the Bria that when things are fully ripe, they fall off the tree, except what doesn't fall off the tree fully ripe? What does the Gemara say? Darbi Ilana Mishana Lashana? Except for an Esrig. Esrig is Darbi Ilana Mishana Lashana. You go to an Esrig paradise, at the same time, you see a fully grown Esrig, a half grown Esrig, and a budding Esrig. If you go to the right time of the year. That's the Metzias by Esrigan. But everything else, when it gets ripe, it falls. It falls off. So for frozen, they're able to use machines that shake it off onto a basket. And to collect it, and they sort it, everything's done by machine. That's the reason it's cheaper. Because it's done by machine, not by person. The fact is, and I don't know the physical metzias, but the fact is that there are fewer bugs when it's sorted by machine. The shaking of it, right, the raspberries, they fall down onto a basket. The metzias of these bugs, and when they fall down, is that they go running away. And the frozen ones have much less incidence of problems. That's why sometimes you'll see frozen a vegetable with a hesher, that there are no bugs, and the fresh is going to be a problem. So this is the reason that the hesher organizations present for that fascinating difference in metzias. Now, what? It's a difference in metzias, just physically. You're not going to have. The assumption is that a lot of these berries, when they're frozen, that it's less than a mir hamatzi. Strawberries are different. I meant raspberries and blueberries. Sometimes the strawberries are a parsha unto themselves, and it's one of the difference of opinion between the OU, which allows strawberries, and the so-called Mahajan Hesherim, which don't allow strawberries. It's a very big difference if you give me a Hesher for stores in Flatbush, or you give me a Hesher for Klal Yisrael, for the world across the country. It's understandable that there would be different standards for it and different expectations from the consumer. So the issue becomes, you could have products, and I believe, according to what I read, this may be very true about the raspberries and the blackberries, where the fresh, I think nobody allows fresh, and the frozen is yesh v'yesh. There are those who feel that the frozen are less than a miramotzi, and therefore there's no problem. Topic number two, what's called visible. So this is also a great divide. And this, I'll tell you the shaila. It's a very hard shaila to deal with logically. If a person with normal eyesight could see a bug, it's a bug, no shaila. If people can't see it, it's not a bug. The shaila really is the following. What happens when people see a dot? Who would never in their wildest dream think it's a bug. But either with a magnifier, you could see it's a bug, or people who are trained, it's incredible. We have a yeshiva, a group of Yungalite, who spend some time learning how to identify bugs, and they can tell you which family, their last name, their first name, like, they are, this is a thrip, and this is a that. To me, they're all dots. And they just train to do it. It's just so strange, because once they're trained, and they look at it, and you say, it doesn't look like a bug, and they say to you, can't you see its legs? Like, and here it is, they, 3 months ago, didn't see it either. The question is, if you see a dot, you see something, but you would never dream it's a bug, whether it's awesome. The Mekilim are based on a letter from Rav Gusman. The Rav Chaim Eiser told him that it's mutter. If it's not visible, and if you have something that doesn't look like a bug to a person with average eyesight, it's mutter. Now, it's true. If you're an expert, you see it's a bug, you're not allowed to eat it. But if to the person with average eyesight, it's okay, then it's okay. Now, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa that I read to you does not seem to hold that way. Because he said that these bugs, these scale bugs, first he wanted to be matic because they don't move. And then he asked it, and then he said, because ba'ayin regila l'chaylun lahargish tzas b'rich rishasam. You could see the movement of the creatures, and that's why it's awesome. Rav David Feinstein went with the Shita. He held that the kopapas are an issue, because when it's alive, you can see them, and I can tell you can, because when the tumult was going on, somebody went to Prospect Park, to the lake, and brought to my house. He said, I didn't pick anything. I just took a picture, took out from Prospect Park, I took it, I'm bringing it to you. You can see them. You can see them by their jumping around, by the way they move around. And at that point, you can see, how do you know they're alive? Because they're moving. So the question is whether that's enough to ask or something, or not enough to ask or something. And this is the basis, the second basis for a lot of the Tumim. Rav Gissinger held very stark that something that's not visible to the average person is a bug. And he went with this, with the Shita Lekula. And he, yeah. He's Baldek, and he was considered the lake when he was the expert in.
Isn't that based on a Rishon?
What?
The orange juice. We cannot have on you. I rely on the
OU. You can do whatever you want. I don't tell you what to do. I'm just learning. We're learning this sugya. Rely on the OU. You could do what you want. Tropicana is the OK, not the OU. Okay. You want to rely on the OK also? Okay? No problem. You do what you want. I'm not.
Okay,
I'm not telling you. You're allowed to rely on them. And I'm not telling you what to do. We're learning the sugya. And this is what we're doing.
Isn't the Rashba says if you don't see it, they don't exist halakhically?
Everyone says if you can't see it, they don't exist. The question is, what happens if you could see it, but you can't tell it's a bug? That's the issue. So this is the issue. The problem is that Ramah, I told him we're going to come back before the end of the day. The Ramah and Sivav is the big issue. The Ramah and Sivav said, the last 2.5 lines, Pa'amim ninsa b'pri, kimin nekuda shchayra, v'hu mokim shemaskal ha'teilas l'israkim. And it's a place that it starts to form. The Gross says, kekos of a rajma, v'srila loy b'inon richush. We don't need that it should crawl around. The loy kadas, taisis rush, v'shulchan arach mini and the machaber. So the Ramah brings, pa'amim ninsa b'pri, kimin nekuda shchayra, and the Ramah paskins that it has to be removed, and he paskins that it's aser. So it would seem from here, like the Das HaMachmirim, the Mekilim would argue this is nicker. This is the way a bug looks when it's masel l'srakim. The Haskalas Rikum is this way. So what do you mean it's not nicker? It's not nicker because you don't know what it looks like. But Tchilas Rikum, this is the beginning of the formation. But the Pashas HaRamah sounds like, if you see it, even if you don't know what it is, that it should be problematic. So the bottom line is that the tumbling over the different vegetables. Now, again, things that are Muzir Petilom, there's no tumbling. Nobody allows fresh broccoli or fresh cauliflower. There's no place in the world that holds you could just check broccoli on your own or check cauliflower on your own for bugs. It's not shayach. Even to check lettuce or romaine lettuce, a person has to be trained. People tell me, my wife checks. I ask, does she ever find any bugs? They say, no. I say, well, she should learn how to check, because if you don't find, stop checking. What are you checking for? You check for a year, and you never find anything, so why check? You have to know how to check. It doesn't take a college degree. It takes an hour of learning how to check, and then you know how to check. So, on what? On frozen, you mean? Yeah, if it has a hechsher, it means it's a greenhouse cauliflower, and it's good. You have to know not all hechsherim are accepted by all kashrus organizations. There are different levels of shita. Some have a shita, and they're matir. It's known that Ramosha Heidemann has a shita regarding bugs, which is his personal opinion. Rav Heidemann holds, and I'm not saying Lashon Hara about him, he'll tell you, this is a shita. His shita is that when broccoli is packed together, it's not, he calls it not easily identifiable. When it's packed together, it's okay. And it's not readily identifiable. And it's only a shayla beria, because it would be bottled. It's only a miut in the whole broccoli. And a suffix beria is mutter. And you're not mechuyev to check. That's his shita. When he presented his shita at an ECHO conference, they have ECHO as an organization of the Kashis, Association of Kashis Organizations, there was a big tumult about it. Rabelsky disagreed with him, and Rav Gissner disagreed with him. But he had a heter, and when people called, he said, well, maybe in Baltimore it's different. Maybe in New York you have more infestation than we have, and he's not passing for anybody else. But Lamaisa is a Talmud Chacham, entitled to his opinion. But it literally a das yachid among everybody. He also held that a whole truckload of lettuce, you take out one box, you check it, and if it's good, you can be matter the whole truckload, which is his shita. I believe he says that Rav Aaron told him that. It's not like the Pashtus HaRamah. The Ramah said that even if you checked Rav, you still have to check the rest, the Raman Sivches. So he's entitled to his shitas, but people should know that Star K, which is a reputable and honest hechsher, and they'll tell you the shita if you ask them, but that Rav Heidemann's shitas in checking for bugs is different than others. We once had a Star K caterer doing an affair here, and again, I'm not by ready a Star K. He did probably do whatever he wanted. But I came in the morning, every time as I come in to check what there is, and Pinchas got me a big garbage bag, and we took out many boxes of produce that we wouldn't allow here, that other shem wouldn't allow, and the caterer didn't even make a tumult. He said, "I know, you know." He was going to use it. I assumed that it was acceptable according to the OK, according to the OK, but not according to others. Now, again, I'm not. I want to be careful. I'm not. Rav Heinemann is a Talmud Chacham Otzel, and I'm not saying that he's doing anything wrong. I'm just saying that his shita is in regarding bugs is not the shita of everybody, and there is no in most kashrus things. It's pretty uniform among the Hasherim. When it comes to bugs, different Hasherim have different shitas, and it tends to be that the Hasherim that are in smaller groups in more so-called Haredi neighborhoods have the ability to be machmir because the clientele expect it. Generally, in the local Flatbush Tequila Hechsher, even if I would feel that something is mutter, or the Rabbanu would feel it's mutter, if the general yeshiva world is machmir on things, so our hechsher, we think our custom is expect that will be mahader, that if it's a shayla, we're not gonna be meikel. And on the other hand, a national hechsherim, there are no such expectations. So it's everything is honest, but there are different opinions. So these are the two big machloiksim. A, when do you have to check? What requires checking? And B, what's called visible? Getting back to the bugs in the water, of all the heterim, the shayla of it's visible seems to be the biggest kula. Rav Dovah was machmir because when they're alive, they're visible. And like I said, there are three possible heterim. Nahara, Nahara, Pashte. Klai Yisrael says, Eilu, Ve'elu. And we're happy with everyone. Siftes next week.